Welcome to the special simulcast, the Neil Haley Show and Author's Corner. I'm excited to welcome the host of Author's Corner, Frank Fiore. Frank, how are you? I know you're excited about our next guest. We went from tattoos to now talking about Cheap Trick. And I asked you, Frank, do you know who Cheap Trick is, Frank?
I thought it was a band.
Yes. Oh, they're a band. They're a band, Frank. So our guest today is writing a book on Cheap Trick, Ross Warner. It's coming out, you said, in September. Is that correct, Ross?
4th, I believe, is the actual.
September 4th. But kind of talk about your love of Cheap Trick, because go figure, you do an interview with the celebrity. Somebody's going to hear it at one point, and they're going to, and I call it fan mail. I don't get a lot of fan mail, and Ross reached out to me after the interview because I said something different with Rick than somebody else did. But by the way, my celebrity podcast is now number 3 celebrity podcast in the world, according to FeedSpot. We're lurking on another radio syndication deal. Someone wants to try to make me the next Joe Rogan of radio. So we'll see. But go ahead with Ross, how you kind of, why you love Cheap Trick.
I mean, I love Cheap Trick because, I mean, they do straddle this, obviously, you know, in some ways they are a very mainstream band. Everybody, you know, has the image of Cheap Trick at Budokan, you know, everything from, you know, the stage patter, Robin Zander saying, I want you, you know, pause to want me, that the Beastie Boys later sampled. And, you know, everybody has that image of them in their head, just, you know, where they were in 1978. And obviously, like a lot of, you know, bands or artists, that's kind of been a blessing and a curse. You know, I know Rick, you know, they have been asked about that album and that, you know, so much since the moment it came out. So yeah, when I was researching, I originally wanted to write just about Budokan, and then it kind of morphed into, I mean, I originally had written something that was, you know, much longer, which, I mean, you know, if people like it, I'll do a second half of it. This pretty much takes people up to about 1980-81, and then I do talk about, you know, Cheap Trick's role, like, kind of in pop culture, you know, again, how they've always kind of like Pennywise, you know, in those films, they've always been there. I mean, you know, whether it be Mike DeMond in Fast Times, where I mentioned the Beastie Boys in 1992, or, you know, when all of the bands that grew up loving Cheap Trick, Pearl Jam, obviously, Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, Green Day, when they became huge, and then they, you know, name check Cheap Trick. And then Rick, of course, would tell you, you know, that he didn't love necessarily where they were at the time, because they were, you know, they were big because of the Flame, but they weren't really, you know, the Cheap Trick those guys loved. So when I'd seen your interview, I mean, I was obviously just looking for, because I kind of assumed, I did reach out to their manager. And I mean, Rick, as I said, he'll talk to anybody. I guess I have that too, but he'll talk to anybody, especially after, you know, COVID on Zoom. He's kind of, I think, suspicious a little bit of a book, I guess, because it just, I don't know if, like, you know, he's always kind of thought that maybe they didn't want to become this kind of, you know, behind the music cliche. And he's always kind of been in control on what, even though he's been telling the same stories for years. So I found your interview with him, like I said, interesting because, again, you know, it was obviously for a charitable organization. And, you know, you talked to him about his, you know, his guitar and obviously, you know, his career. But it just occurred to me that, yeah, much like wrestlers, that, you know, Rick Nielsen has been, I think Bunny Carlos said it, has been playing Rick Nielsen in some form or another since, you know, 1973 or four. You know, and he, you know, when he goes out in Rockford where he is, I used to joke before Jimmy Buffett died that Rick basically is, you know, the Midwestern version of Jimmy Buffett. I mean, he's got the vodka brand and everybody knows him, you know, obviously, you know, he's the first thing people think of, you know, with Rockford that, you know, that he's been playing that character for a long time. And it's, you know, I know it's exhausting for him in some ways. You know, I mean, he's popped up in some places people don't even remember. I mean, he was, you know, he was in the Fat Boys movie, Disorderlies, you know.
Oh, really? Okay. And by the way, I had someone for the I had the only living member of the Fat Boys on a couple months ago. So, Frank, do you know the Fat Boys?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you remember the Fat Boys?
Bad Boys?
Fat Boys. F-A-T, Fat Boys.
Oh, no, I don't know the Fat Boys.
The beatboxing?
That movie, I believe Ralph Bellamy, right, from Trading Places was in it. Like, it was one of those kind of fish out of water, like they get money or they work for rich people, kind of like get easy money. Or...
Come on now, Paul, do you know the Fat Boys?
I do. Unfortunately, they were a little bit after my time. I hate to admit that, but... Fat Boys and also Cheap Trick a little bit because I was way back. I was a 60s kid. So
I mean, so what do you hope people get out of your book? especially when it's hard to get people in the band to talk about it. But you got, that was great. You got Pearl Jam to write the foreword. But yeah. What do you hope people get out of this book, man?
What I hope people get out of it is that I feel like a lot of people have, you know, spoken to them, and I did speak to their former manager and Bunny Carlos, who doesn't play with them anymore. But what I hope people get out of it is I went into this, I think, unlike most people, I just almost embracing the fact that, you know, this wasn't going to be a book that they participated in, because in some ways, again, they've been telling, you know, again, the same stories, especially about Budokan, you know, whether it be how much of that is live. I mean, it is a live album, but they love to tell these stories. Rick does, about how they weren't going to play I Want You to Want Me, and then, you know, at the last second, a promoter needed another song. I'm like, that's patently not true. Like, they actually were playing it at the show before, but it makes for a great story. And Rick has always been great, you know, with stories. He's never let, you know, truth get in the way. And it's funny, like, reading so many interviews from Cream, Circus. I mean, I have, you know, literally behind me, I have folders and folders of stuff. It reminds me of that Dr. Rick commercial, you know, for Progressive. Like, you don't need to print out the internet, you know, telling older people.
All right.
So, you know, I hope what they get out of it is that, obviously, that these super fans, and I have a lot of them, enjoy it. I tried to, like I said, get a lot of stuff that hasn't been out there, especially about, like, about Budokan. You know, I think, again, I put in the introduction, they've had the same excess and ego that, you know, everybody else has had. I mean, Rick will patently tell people he sells vodka but doesn't drink anymore, but doesn't really like to talk about, you know, how he got there. But I hope that they also, you know, enjoy it. Like, I'm sure they will read it. And again, it's kind of their thing where they, you know, I think they're, like I said, reasonably suspicious that people are somehow trying to co-opt their story. But it's a celebration of, you know, a really great band.
Yeah.
They mentioned the 60s, that, you know, they loved the Move. They loved, right, Dwayne Eddy. And they became at one point the biggest thing in the world on the cover of Rolling Stone. And everybody knew who they were. And they're, you know, on 8-track cassettes.
All right. I'm going to sing these to you, Frank. I'm going to serenade you with some of the songs. Just a little bit of a bar, as I'm a terrible karaoke guy, or I'm a great karaoke. You make the choice, guys, live here on the Neil Haley Show. I want you to love me. I want you to need me. Do you remember that song?
Come on. Da, da, da,
da, da. Then the other one is...
Surrender.
I'll let you sing. Is it Never Surrender?
No, Just Surrender.
How does it go? But it's...
The chorus is, you know, Mommy's all right, Daddy's all right, they just seem a little weak. Surrender.
Surrender, okay. Okay, that's Surrender. What other ones? Sing another one for me.
Dream Police. You know, the Dream Police. I mean, I sound like Mike DeMille from Cheap Trick, but Dream Police, they get inside of my head. The Dream Police, they come to me in my bed. The Dream Police, they're coming to arrest me. Oh, no.
And then good. So I nailed one of them.
Yeah.
But I honestly, Cheap Trick is a icon, Frank. So you have to go to Spotify now. And I guess what? I need to sponsor Spotify. Come on now. Go to Spotify right now. Download Cheap Trick's music. But Frank, any other questions? Ask him an author question to finish up, because you are the author guru, Frank. How many books have you written? Ask Ross to get to know him as an author.
Yes. So you said you completed the book, correct? Okay. So what are your marketing plans?
I mean, my marketing plans, it's Backbeat Publishing. So I mean, they're somewhat involved in it, but I mean, I've pretty much been in touch with everybody who either, you know, I think I gave them a list of 50 names, you know, either authors or, you know, musicians, or, you know, obviously podcasts, you know, magazines. I mean, if those are still a thing. So just try to get, you know, as many people. I mean, certainly I'll try to do, you know, whenever I want to, some actual, like, signings. I mean, I've been getting messages on Facebook, like, hey, would you sign it? And I was like, yeah. I mean, they just showed me the cover a week ago, so I don't have anything to sign, but it's very flattering. I did write a book before this, which was, it wasn't self-published, but it was a small publisher. It was actually a fictionalized account of meeting my wife and going to college and escaping responsibility. And actually, I saw 138 Grateful Dead concerts, which is, you know, a whole other story.
Okay. Well, Ross, best place people can find information on you. Where can they go check you out? It's not available yet.
It's on for pre-order at, you know, all outlets, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Walmart, They can find me on Twitter at Luca B12, which like Luca Brasi from The Godfather, number 12. There's a Facebook page for the book. The book's called American Standard, which is a play on the plumbing fixtures, but the actual album that they just that has Surrender and a lot of their bigger hits that they did right after Budokan, although they recorded it before, was the name of their album. So the book is called American Standard, Cheap Trick, Live from the Bars to the Budokan and Beyond.
You're amazing. That was great. I fouled it up, guys. Comment about if you're a Cheap Trick fan right now. I'm going to try to do that. You know what I've decided is if Gary V can do co-working broadcasting live 12 hours a day on YouTube, why don't I just go on live to do the show? Because, you know, live is hot some places, other places, but then I get the best quality video. Appreciate it, man. I'm trying to create my own clubhouse here in the media giant world. Thanks, Ross. Appreciate it. Bye, brother. All right. All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.